So I just want to finish out and ask you all if you have any comments or thoughts about the issue of COVID and lung cancer. And Melissa, you know, we saw this really interesting virtual session that AACR did last week. They had a whole session on COVID. There was this incredible presentation that Leora was very much involved with that. We've been talking with everybody we can about how management algorithms now are being altered depending upon where people are, of just patients without COVID. And, you know, we can talk a long time about, you know, trying to avoid infusions, don't bring people in, telemedicine, et cetera. But the thing that I thought was so interesting about this effort that Leora was involved with is they were looking at people with lung cancer and COVID. And I think it's just the beginning of looking at that. And I don't even know how many patients there might be out there in people's practices. But Leora, maybe you can just start a little bit and summarize what your take was on some of the more important data that came out of that and how you think it ought to be affecting people's practices right now.
Yeah, so it's a little hard because this was for patients who were symptomatic with COVID and lung cancer. And so what we don't know, and I think we'll get a lot of data on in the future, is the asymptomatic cases, because we're now screening everybody at the start of chemo to make sure that they don't have COVID. But in the initial data set, and we will be presenting an update at ASCO, which shows a lot more information than what we had at AACR. Symptoms at presentation were very similar to what you would have with lung cancer. So dyspnea, cough, fever. The shocking information that came out was that for the majority of patients who were admitted, who, if they required ICU, they were not transferred to ICUs. The reasons being, we're still sorting some of that out, but some of it was a health systems that were overwhelmed and could not accommodate a patient with stage four lung cancer who had, quote unquote, a terminal illness, despite the better prognostic information we have about lung cancer. And so they were having to triage these patients. We also unfortunately saw a 34.6% mortality for lung cancer patients who were admitted to the hospital. And in our initial data set, the only patients who were at sort of decreased risk were those patients who were potentially on a TKI. They were less likely to be admitted. But we didn't find a discriminator in terms of type of chemotherapy or type of comorbidity for admission or death from COVID. We're now up to almost 500 cases in the database. We're starting to get a lot of US sites on board. I think we're up to 26 countries and over 200 cancer centers. And so that's changed. We actually have found treatment regimens that do appear to be associated with increased morbidity and mortality from COVID, and some interesting prognostic features that we're going to be presenting at ASCO.
So one of the things that I heard in that first presentation, we'll be really looking forward to the second one, is it sounded like that IOs weren't a major issue one way or the other. It seemed like that was the case. Ben, any thoughts about, you know, your speculations about how IOs affect the biologic environment and how that relates to somebody with COVID?
Yeah, these purely speculative, but, you know, IOs may alter or dysregulate the immune system, and that may lead to a lowered threshold of either getting the virus or having complications. I have not seen this in my practice. Thankfully, most of the patients we've diagnosed with COVID with lung cancer have been doing okay. I think it even begs the question with chemo. I mean, chemo certainly causes neutropenia, but is neutropenia really relevant for viral infections? We had a conversation about this on a command center call at our institution. I think scientifically, yes, it could, but it's more lymphopenia that may, at least scientifically, be aligned with susceptibility to the virus. I mean, I think, you know, parting shot here is just that we're in a new environment where we're trying to learn, best guess, not based on any scientific evidence, how we should alter our treatment paradigm for these patients.
So getting back to you, Leora, because I think you're most familiar with these data that are coming out. For practical purposes right now, if you had a patient who tested positive for COVID but was asymptomatic, how would that have, and, you know, putting aside social distancing and all that stuff that I know you're considering to start with, but would it materially affect the way you would approach adjuvant therapy, chemo radiation therapy, therapy for metastatic disease?
So if they haven't started therapy and they test positive, we're delaying their therapy and then retesting them and starting therapy at that point. You know, you worry a little bit with patients with locally advanced disease, are they going to become metastatic? But honestly, if delaying treatment 2 or 3 weeks and they become metastatic, they were metastatic to begin with. And if patients are asymptomatic but have a test for one reason or another, we have some patients who are just going to get tested because they're curious, and you can in Nashville right now. If they test positive, we're just putting them in a separate area of their infusion room, but we're continuing them on whatever therapy they are on.